ar lein, ar Uniwaves
ac ar Express Byw. Dyma
Express Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Be the Change on Air. My name is Lily Mott, and I'm so excited to introduce my guest who is here in the Express Radio station with me today. Daisy Tipping is here with me today, and she is the Cardiff Students' Union Women's Officer. And I think this is a perfect time to have you on the show because International Women's Day is on Friday. Yes, and I'm so excited to just talk with you about your role and what you've done in your time as this role in the Cardiff Students Union, because I think it's really exciting. And especially as we look at election time and everything, I also feel like it's perfect time.
Yeah.
Daisy just made a bad face. Tell me about that.
Oh, elections are always stressful for everyone involved in energy politics. I'm not running this year, very happily. Get to see everyone else's stress face as they run. I feel like everyone I've talked to for the past week has just been going like, oh my God, it's election.
Yes, well, you don't have to worry about that. That was last year.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about what that process looked like for you. I want to start with just having you introduce yourself a little bit better than I just did. Tell me more about who you are, what you're studying. Just give me a more holistic picture of you rather than just Women's Officer. Not just, but
so I'm Daisy. I'm a second year history and politics student. I am originally from around Birmingham area, and I am the Women's Officer for the Students' Union, and then I'm also the president of the Real Ellen Cider Society.
Okay.
And then just obviously do some other fun things
of
on the
course.
Side.
Oh yeah. My gosh, yeah, that's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Tell me about what the process was like to run for your position and what inspired you to want to do that in the first place. Tell me the whole story behind that.
I was going to say, I have a very different election story to many other people because I ran out of first year.
Oh, okay.
I knew no one in SU politics, and I got slightly tipsy on a night out, and they sent the email being like, do you want to change the student experience? And I went, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
And I signed up, and then the next morning woke up to an email saying, thank you for signing up. This is your next step. And I went, oh, okay, this is me now.
Yeah.
So I did my manifesto, and I came and I spoke to Express Radio, and I came and did the hustings, and I didn't really realise how seriously everyone took SU politics until I started running for it. Obviously they should
yes.
take it seriously.
Yes.
But as I said, I was quite an outsider to it. So everyone else had their little like banners up. I just got 5 free t-shirts because I went, wow, 5 free t-shirts would be lovely.
There you go.
And didn't even cross my mind to paint things on them. But yeah, so I kind of fell into it, but it's been a really amazing role to be a part of, and we've done so much, so that's been really good.
Yeah, tell me about what it's been like since then. Just kind of continue on with the story. What have you done this year? What does the role look like? A lot of my friends and the people that I know are from the US, and the Students' Union is an entirely different concept to us as far as its role in college life. So tell me about just what that looks like for you, what the role has been for the last year.
Yeah, so the role's been very crazy. Lots of work. I'm sure you had this when you talked to Adrian Matilda as well. I think campaign officer roles are really what you put into it and what is what you get out of it. And I am never someone to just put in like 10% effort. It will always be 100% effort from day one. So we've ran, a lot of my work this year has been policy-based.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you've seen all of the BBC Wales stuff about sexual violence at Cardiff.
Yes, yes.
So it's kind of working with that, and it's been working with the Time to Act and with the university to try and really change their policy.
Uh-huh.
It then got a bit crazier. I got invited to a International Day of Prevention of Violence Against Women event at the Senate.
Okay.
And I started talking to people there, and I got invited to speak to the UN about what the work I'd been doing with students, because it's not something they'd ever really come across before. So I've had 2 meetings with the UN. I've been included on a UN report about sexual violence experience with students. So the work with that's been really good. The university's been very receptive. I was in a meeting with them today on task and reviewing everything that we're doing for sexual violence within the university. And this month is Women's Month.
Yeah.
So we're running lots of different events. We had a talk by the incredible Black Girl Space last Monday, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
Monday of this week even. We have some more talks coming up from Time to Act and from Molly Fenton, who is
Oh my gosh, I'm having Molly on later actually.
Yeah, Molly Fenton is amazing. We love her. But yeah, so it's all been very crazy.
Yeah, there's so much going on.
Yeah, because even then behind the scenes, then it's all of the kind of like inner workings of the SU, and you have to sit in on all of these meetings and talk to all of these different people, and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Especially with the campaign officer positions. That's what I think is amazing, just thinking that you do all of this and it's entirely voluntary.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think it's tricky too, because I wrote an article about how the international students officer replaced the undergraduate officer. And I just hadn't really realized that so many of these campaign positions are so rewarding, but also draining emotionally, intellectually, time-wise,
In
so many ways. And it's amazing that you're stepping up and taking that opportunity, but oh my gosh, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, I've been doing about 115-hour work weeks.
Yeah.
It's like mid-October.
Oh my God.
So I'm tired. I want to have a nap, but it's fine. March is the big sprint. We're sleeping.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about the UN. Tell me more about that. That's amazing.
It was
so cool.
Honestly terrifying. Okay. Because there were so many different CEOs of women's charities, and kind of like the CEO of Women's Aid was there and the CEO of these.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not even sure I'm meant to be saying this, but it's fine. they were all sat around, and it was all, they would go around and they'd be like, I have this much experience in the violence against women and girls sector, and I have this much, like 25 years. And then they kind of came to me and I was like, hi, I'm Daisy. I'm the women's officer for the student union.
That's so, oh my God.
And then they all kind of like took a step back, and then I'd share my points. They were like, actually, that's really fair.
But
like the first like step was kind of a bit like, oh my God, I'm so scared.
Yeah. I feel like that is such an important lesson to share though with people, where it's like your experience and your kind of authority on this issue is valid.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to kind of overcome that little like barrier of like
be in the room. But when you're there, then you're there.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So tell me more about the Time to Act campaign, because that's also what I had on my list of things to talk with you about, because I think that is so important. And I think that Cardiff has really been a hub for it.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So I'm not an official part of the Time to Act campaign. Okay. I've massively supported them. But so they were set up by also two other people in my year, Becca Rumsey and Bethia Tucker.
Yes.
Who sat down last year and went, this is a problem, and I think that we should fix something with it. So they started writing a motion. They then started working with Emily Carr, who's the previous women's officer.
Okay.
And this AGM, then I kind of found out about, and I was like, damn girly, let me help you.
Yeah.
So it went to AGM. It was really good. Literally no one spoke against it. I don't know if you're at the AGM.
Yeah. That was the one that was like astounding.
Yeah, it was scary. We all just sat there, what's going on? But obviously it finally got to be passed and it all went through smoothly, nice and smoothly. So that kind of, from that, then we started all of the different work that we had. So we had that win, and then we had Emily Carr had previously been working with the BBC to get that work put forward. So she kind of took the lead on the BBC original news story. And then the university reached out to have a meeting with us. So that happened about 2 weeks later. And we presented 5 key changes to them.
Okay.
So that's so currently then there's a complaint window that if any incident that happens to you in the university, you have 28 days to complain about it.
Okay.
So that's if your housemate beat you up, or if a lecturer yelled at you, like they're kind of treated the same. So we implemented for that to be removed, for bystander training to be introduced to our staff members.
Okay.
I'm really testing my memory here. The possibility of a hardship fund being set up for victims.
Okay.
And change to extenuating circumstances.
Okay.
And what was the other one? A progressive definition of sexual violence to be adopted by the university.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. Those are huge. Do you think that that's been... Have other universities around the UK, this is kind of putting you on the spot, but to your knowledge, do they already have these, or is Cardiff kind of progressive with this, unfortunately? Tell me about that.
I think that's the thing. Sadly, Cardiff is actually quite progressive at this point.
Yeah.
It's not doing what it needs to do,
but
we are progressive in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. A lot of universities, what I always like to say, it's not a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah.
When you come to universities, you want to have the fun things. Like the SU wants to focus on the fun stuff, like YOLO and things. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily want to think about like the sad stuff. So I keep on being like, yeah, we should really talk about consent in Freshers Week. And everyone's like, should we though?
Yeah.
Because that's not particularly what you want to come into university and see. But it's kind of the like nitty gritty that no one wants to talk about until someone does. And students are never really in the position to be able to stand up and go, no, this is the issue,
yeah,
which is what's
yeah.
really good, which is what's starting now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like, I think the statistics are of it are quite scary, because there's not a comprehensive report for how sexual violence has impacted students across the UK.
Okay.
The only thing that you can look at is the crime statistics done by the National Law Office statistics, and that covers everyone. But that shows that for in different occupational categories, if we count students as an occupational category, I know it always feels weird when I have to put my job down there, and I'm like, I am a student. But students, 8% of all students interviewed had been sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
The next highest category was unemployed, and that was 2.8%. So there was such an incredible difference between them. And that doesn't even cover, so that I said that covers everyone. It doesn't cover anyone living in group accommodation. This Office of Student Statistics wouldn't cover that. So that is pretty much all students have been discounted from this survey. And the percentage is that high.
Yeah.
Which implies that if the percentage is that high without all students being interviewed, if you were interviewed, it would be so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone that is a student, it's so normalized of that you go out and you might get spiked, but that's just normal. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone has a story of, oh, my friend had this, oh, I had this. Oh, like, I went out to a club in town the other week and a guy followed me around the dance floor for the entire night and I kept saying, go away, and he didn't. And that's just it. But it doesn't seem serious until you actually sit down and you go like, oh God, that's awful.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to make a world where students can sit down and go, that should not be happening to me.
Yeah.
And fixing it.
Yeah. I think it's definitely like you're saying, nobody really wants to have that conversation, but it's almost the too little, too late idea where after the fact, when you think about it, you're like, oh my gosh. I think so many people, if you asked them, can you think of an experience that could have been sexual harassment, at least people can name them, which is unfortunate.
Oh, absolutely.
The fact that we don't even know what that looks like necessarily is really scary. Those statistics are crazy. You probably saw, I was like, oh my God, oh my gosh. But wow, that's so, as far as the work that, how does it work kind of the pass on? Does the next women's officer have her own things that she does it kind of continue with? So tell me about, I guess the manifesto as well.
Yeah.
What does that process look like?
So it's slightly different next year.
Okay.
Because actually Becca Rumsey, who founded Time Track, is running for Women's Officer
for
next year. And she's running unopposed, I believe, from all return to nomination. So hopefully she wins. I think she's a pretty good candidate myself. So she kind of has all of the stuff that I've been doing this year on board. She was a part of my women's association. So she's kind of known everything that I'm doing, because there's other things that we've been doing, like period products across campus that we've been giving. We've been working with the SU to give them around to different places on campus. And we've also been working with the university to implement them across campus. So recently the university have confirmed that they will be putting in, over the next few months, period products in every ground floor bathroom across campus, male and female. There will be a bag of period products.
You
can never be caught across campus without period product
again.
Which that's quite good. But the manifesto process really is just whatever you want to do. Everyone comes in with different ideas. Generally then you'll try and carry on the work that your previous person did. I was quite lucky because Emily Curl was also working on sexual violence, and I came and I was like, sexual violence, she was like, wonderful, great, perfect, this is what you've done. I think it can be a bit more tricky with like SAB roles, because obviously they have like a lot more time to do the things that they want to do, and they have their list of priorities that they want to do. So I feel very bad for the SU staff that have to switch up every year of kind of like, this is what we're doing this year and this is what we're doing this year.
That's so interesting. I think even the like manifesto idea though is really cool, as far as making it more serious. And in the US, when we have student government, often it's just, you know, a poster where it's like, vote for me, and there's no actual platforms
the
or
Instagram
anything.
Videos where they're turning through Regina Dawes and it's like, I voted for her because she did this.
Yes, but I love that there actually has to be kind of commitments and goals for people. I think that's a really, that's a lot better of a foundation. It makes it a lot more serious, I feel like, when you say, this is what I'm hoping to do, these are the plans. Tell me about what you're doing for March. Tell me if there are any upcoming events, anything like that for women's everything.
We are having two coffee mornings.
Okay.
One on the 8th, that's the first one. I think the next one is on the 13th. But let me just check my calendar to see. Because it fully may not be. Actually, on the 12th.
Okay, so good thing we checked.
And on the 12th. And then there's a lot of other stuff going on. So on the 11th in the evening, then we do have a networking event that we're hoping to run. So that's where we're writing a lot of outside businesses, lots of charities, lots of different people that people might want to network with. Wine and nibbles provided. Mm-hmm. That's in the lodge. And then the big one is on the 21st. We are doing a women's showcase. And then after that, we are doing a club night, for a women's based club night. So that's in collaboration with FemSoc.
Okay.
Who I think you've also
yes. To the oh my gosh, of. So fun.
Yeah, Sharon and Rashani scare me. They're so wonderful.
And like the way they bounce off of each other is just amazing. Yeah. Their personalities complement each other so well. It's so fun.
Yeah, we love them. But so it's in collaboration with them. We are doing that on the 21st.
Okay.
So that's kind of the big month. That's the big stuff. Yeah, we're doing a few other talks. The dates are still to be confirmed with that.
Okay.
As I say, with Time to Act and with Molly, maybe some other people if I can beg them enough.
Definitely. Yeah. That's so exciting. So when you're looking at handing off the role, which may be a little bit scary, maybe a little bit relieving, both.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What are you going to do? You still have a whole other year here, which a lot of people don't have when they do these roles.
I know.
So what's that going to look like?
I'm very excited to support Becca in everything that she wants to do. I've already told her I'll do anything that she possibly needs me to. I'm happy to not be responsible for it anymore. I think I did consider running again, but it was kind of the question of what would I run on? And I always answered that question was anything that I would want to do next year, I would just do this year instead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anything that I would campaign on needs to be done. So I would just do it rather than like being like that. It's a waste.
I love that attitude. I think that's so smart.
It's not the smartest my work life balance.
Maybe
but like
maybe not the most for self-preservation, but as far as getting it done, yes.
I think it's more just kind of like I always answer that question. So I'm very happy for Becca to come in and give her own perspective to it. She's done so much wonderful activism work already. She's a part of Love Your Period, which Molly's founded. Obviously, she founded Time to Act. She does so much. So I'm very excited to be able to support her in everything that she wants to do. Because that's a similar thing that my because I'm the president of the society this year, and I'm taking a step back. I'm being a social sec. We're helping out on that front as well. So I'm happy to just help people going forward.
That's
rather than
so
necessarily
nice.
Just because I keep on saying I'll have no work to do. Realistically, it's third year and have a dissertation and all of these different things to do.
You'll have
a lot of work. Yeah. So much work to do, but it'll feel like a lot more of a step back.
Yeah, a lot more relaxed. And I do think it's amazing that you'll be able to support them from the position of someone who's already done it and who knows how the role works. And I think that's really valuable
definitely.
In itself.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. And it is cool. You have a whole other year to try to support, but also impact change in your own way and just be there to kind of have that continuity. Because I think that is kind of a downside too when you have the maybe officer transition and then everybody just leaves and then the whole new group has to come in and then everybody just leaves. So that's also what's kind of nice about sabbatical officers, I guess, though, is that they kind of stay a little bit like they've been students and then they pass it on and things. It feels a little bit like longer in a way, but there's also money involved.
Exactly.
But that is so kind of, that's so interesting, like your story, the what inspired you to get started with this, where you're just like, I think that I should just do it. I love it.
Yeah, I did. Because I had my own experience with it. And I just kind of, I felt like the university could be doing better. So I just kind of did.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have a signature question that I think you're going to have a great answer for just because of that introduction to this work. Lots of young people want to create change and make a difference, but they may not know how to get started with that work. What advice do you have for those people who may be listening?
That is such a good question. I think really, whatever opportunity you are given, you will find a way to shape into what you want to make it. So before I did Women's Officer, I was an academic rep. I did not think that was going to go anywhere. I just did it because they said we need people to put their names down. And I went, okay, sure. And it was kind of in that I made the changes I wanted to make. Because I think that anyone... It sounds really cool to say anyone can make change. Anyone can do anything that they want to. You just need to be able to willing to say yes. And if you say yes, then you can do it. Because when I came into the role as women's officer, then everyone was like, no, you're not going to be able to do that. That's really silly. And I know a lot of people said the same to Becca and Bethia and to Emily of kind of like the university will never change. people were saying to me, like, oh, the university will, like, the UN will never listen to you, that sort of thing. But if you just say, yeah, sure, I'll come along, you might as well. If someone's going to say no, they're going to say no. But generally, people want to listen to you. People are so ready and willing to help. And you just need to be there to actually get that opportunity.
That's, yeah, I think the just saying yes part is so important. Yeah. You can also, I think a lot of times you can plan every little bit of it and you can really think about how you want it to look and how you want the project to go. But at the end of the day, you got to start just somewhere and you got to say yes, yeah. You know, just go for it. Throw yourself
especially,
into it.
Especially at this age, like no one's going to be questioning if you're doing something wrong. Just throw stuff at a wall, see what sticks. And if someone wants to tell you that you're doing it wrong, be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Perfect, great, fix it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think it is. Is it's not, you know, it's kind of the idea, it's not a no, it's just figure out a different way. Yeah. You know. And I think especially when you're young, figuring out like if people do criticize the work that you're doing, okay, then you do it or you help me fix what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a great response to that, you know. And I think just saying yes is the first step, which I love that advice. I think it's awesome. So what are the best ways for people to follow along with you and all of the work that you're doing after you transition from women's officer and now both of them?
So currently then it's the women's officer Instagram account. It's at women's officer CSU, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I post lots of stuff on there, lots of different work that everyone else is doing across campus not just me. And then I'm still considering what my plans are for next year, whether I do want to carry on some campaign work to set up my own group or something like that. But for now then it's just my personal Instagram, which is Daisy E.
Perfect. And I'll put those in the description of the podcast episode too, so people can check them out. Perfect. But thank you so much for coming on. This
thank
was so much fun.
Me.
Of course. And thank you to everyone for listening. If you want to talk about anything I mentioned, please reach out to me by email at lily@bethechangepodcast.org or on Instagram at @bethechangepodcast. Next week, I'm going to be joined by Helen Roberts, who is a journalist, a presenter, content creator, and a public speaker who raises awareness about endometriosis and other issues. So that's going to be really interesting. Exactly. And listen live to that interview next week. But until then, be the change you wish to see in the world. Bye, guys.